Chapter 5. They don't make morgues with windows. In fact, if the geography allows for it, they hardly ever make morgues above the ground. I guess it's partly because it's easier to refrigerate a bunch of coffin-sized chambers in a room insulated by the earth. But that can't be all there is to it. Under the earth means a lot more than relative altitude. It's where dead things fit. Graves are under the earth. So are Hell, Gehenna, Hades, and a dozen other reported afterlives. Maybe it says something about people. Maybe for us, under the earth is a subtle and profound statement. Maybe ground level provides us with a kind of symbolic boundary marker, an artificial construct that helps us to remember that we are alive. Maybe it helps us push death's shadow back from our lives. I live in a basement apartment and like it. What does that say about me? Probably that I overanalyze things.
You look pensive, Murphy said.
We walked down an empty hospital corridor toward the Cook County morgue. We'd had to go the long way around so that I could avoid any areas with important medical equipment. My leather duster whispered around my legs as I walked. My blasting rod thumped against my leg rhythmically, where I'd tied it to the inside of the duster. I'd traded in my slacks for blue jeans and my dress shoes for hiking boots. Murphy didn't look like a monster-hunting Valkyrie. Murphy looked like someone's kid sister. She was 5'0", 100-0, and was built like an athlete, all springy muscle. Her blonde hair hung down over her blue eyes and was cut close in back. She wore nicer clothes than usual, a maroon blouse with a gray pantsuit, and she had on more makeup than was her habit. She looked every inch the professional businesswoman. That said, Murphy was a monster-hunting Valkyrie. She was the only person I'd ever heard of who had killed one with a chainsaw.
"I said you look pensive, Harry," she repeated, a little louder.
I shook my head and told Murphy, "I don't like hospitals." She nodded. "Morgues spook me. Morgues and dogs."
"Dogs?" I asked.
"Not like beagles or cocker spaniels or anything. Just big dogs." I nodded. "I like dogs. They give Mister something to snack on." Murphy gave me a smile. "I've seen you spooked. It doesn't make you look like that." "What do I look like?" I asked. Murphy pursed her lips as though considering her words.
"You look worried and frustrated and guilty. You know, romance things."
I gave her a wry glance and then nodded. "Susan's in town." Murphy whistled.
"Wow. She's okay?"
"Yeah, as much as she can be."
"Then why do you look like you just swallowed something that was still wriggling?"
I shrugged. "She's in town to quit her job, and she was with someone."
"A guy?" Murphy asked.
"Yeah."
She frowned. "With him or with him?"
I shook my head.
"Just with him, I think. I don't know." "She's quitting her job?"
"Guess so. We're gonna talk, I think."
"She said so?"
"Said she'd get in touch and we'd talk." Murphy's eyes narrowed and she said,
"Ah, one of those."
"Huh?" I said and eyed her. She lifted her hands, palms out.
"None of my business."
"Hell's bells, Murph." She sighed and didn't look up at me and didn't speak for a few steps. Finally, she said,
"You don't set up a guy for a good talk, Harry."
I stared at her profile and then scowled down at my feet for a while. No one said anything. We got to the morgue. Murphy pushed a button on the wall and said, "It's Murphy," at a speaker next to the door. A second later, the door buzzed and clicked. I swung open the door and held it for Murphy. She gave me an even look before she went through. Murphy does not respond well to chivalry. The morgue was like others I'd seen, cold, clean, and brightly lit with fluorescent lights. Metal refrigerator doors lined one wall. An occupied autopsy table sat in the middle of the room, and a white sheet covered its subject. A rolling medical cart sat next to the autopsy table, another by a cheap office furniture desk. Polka music, heavy on accordion and clarinet, oompahed cheerfully through the room from a little stereo on the desk. At the desk sat a small man with a wild shock of black hair. He was dressed in medical scrubs and green bunny slippers, complete with floppy ears. He had a pen clenched in one hand and scribbled furiously at a stack of forms. When we came in, he held up a hand toward us and finished his scribbling with a flourish before hopping up with a broad smile.
"Karen," he said. "Wow, you're looking nice tonight. What's the occasion?"
"Municipal brass are tromping around," Murphy said. "So we're all supposed to wear our Sunday clothes and smile a lot."
"Bastards," the little guy said cheerfully.
He shot me a glance.
"You aren't supposed to be spending money on psychic consultants either, I bet. You must be Harry Dresden."
"That's what it says on my underwear," I agreed. He grinned.
"Great coat. Love it."
"Harry," Murphy said, "this is Waldo Butters, assistant medical examiner." Butters shook my hand, then turned to walk to the autopsy table. He snapped on some rubber gloves and a surgical mask.
"Pleased to meet you, Mr. Dresden," he said over his shoulder. "Seems like every time you're working with SI, my job gets really interesting."
Murphy chucked me on the arm with one fist and followed Butters. I followed her.
"Masks on that tray to your left. Stay a couple of feet back from the table, and for God's sake, don't throw up on my floor."
We put on masks, and Butters threw back the sheet. I'd seen corpses before. Hell's bells, I'd created some. I'd seen what was left of people who had been burned alive, savaged to death by animals, and who had died when their hearts exploded out of their chests, courtesy of black magic. But I hadn't ever seen anything quite like this. I shoved the thought to the back of my head and tried to focus purely upon taking in details. It wouldn't do to think too much, looking at this. Thinking too much would lead me to messing up Butters's floor. The victim had been a man, maybe a little over 6 feet tall, thin build. His chest looked like 20 pounds of raw hamburger. Fine grid marks stretched vertically from his collarbones to his belly, and horizontally across the width of his body. The cuts were spaced maybe a 16th of an inch apart, and the grid pattern slashed into the flesh looked nearly flawless. The cuts were deep ones, and I had the unsettling impression that I could have brushed my hand across the surface of that ruined body and sent chunks of flesh pattering to the floor.